T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to The Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520, blanketing 17 states and much of Canada. Over the years, I met many times at different parties and events and fundraisers in Palm Beach, Florida, one of the most famous singers in the world, Vic Damone. Well, he passed away. And we have his daughter who has the same name, Vic Damone, but it's Victoria Damone. And she is a leader with One Share Health. And to tell you a little bit about Victoria Damone, she is Executive Vice President of Strategic Partnerships for One Share Health, a faith-based ministry. She is responsible for introducing, aligning, bringing together mutually beneficial partners to support One Share Health. And why don't we start out talking about your father? And I just mentioned to the general manager of ESPN Radio in Buffalo, New York, about how Frank Sinatra said that Vic Damone had the best pipes in the business. And that was from the legend from old Blue Eyes. So let's talk about your dad. What a tremendous talent. He was sort of a tough guy, but compassionate guy for my dealings with him, and very intelligent man. So let's talk about your father, Vic Damone.
Oh, well, that was a very lovely introduction. Thank you, Brian.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, first of all, my dad really was a very special human being. I suppose that's what you say when you have a very special dad, but he really was a very special man, and he really treasured his friends, and you were one of them. And so I thank you for the friendship that you had with him. And so Dad was a very complicated guy. He's still alive in my heart, of course, but there was a lot of misperceptions, I think, about him and also the industry that he was a part of, because I think that what you end up what ends up happening when you're an entertainer is that you really treasure your privacy. And Dad was always a very private guy. And Brian, you probably know this about him. He really wasn't the guy that needed to be front and center.
Privately, he was very quiet at social events I was at with Mr. and Mrs. Castle in Palm Beach. He was sort of very quiet and to himself. He was not outgoing at events I was with him at.
No, he really liked, he always kind of had a very humble, not to be boastful demeanor about him. And I think it resonated throughout his entire professional career. He really wasn't the guy that had to be front and center, the biggest star. He had humble beginnings in Brooklyn, New York, as you know, and I think that kind of set the stage for him for the rest of his life. Now, he had great, he was very confident in his craft, and most definitely felt that he was giving his all when he would do a concert or was recording an album. But I think the thing that people unfortunately didn't get a chance to really see with him is really what a loyal and faithful friend he was. He's taught my sisters and I and my brother, who's since passed away, so much about life and how God and spirituality, and I'm a Christian, so and he was as well, but he was also following along with the Baha'i faith, and that's another long story, but basically he just was a really, he had a lot of soul connection with individuals, be it President Trump, it could be a senator, a president, he was close with many legislators, but he also felt a real affinity for the individual who may be serving dinner at a restaurant that he was attending, or the usher in a at a different theater he was performing in. He really saw every human being as a treasured soul, and I think that my sisters and I now, looking back, that was something that we really took away from him as part of his legacy, is that he just had a real affinity for every human being and their struggle. So that's those are some nuggets.
Now I knew he liked golf, and and he the last few years of his life, I've heard him sing a little bit, maybe 5 or 10 years before he passed. But he was a great showman, but he, as you said, he started from humble beginnings. Tell us how he started in this career to become one of the most famous singers of the world. Tell about your dad, Vic Damone.
Okay, well, he was born in New York, in Brooklyn, in 1928, and my grandfather had been injured. So my dad actually had to go to work at Paramount Theater. And he became a usher and an elevator operator there in Manhattan. And he really sought out Perry Como. Perry Como was really the pivotal person in Dad's career to launch it. He was the mentor, the friend, the adopted dad, if you will, mm-hmm. that really helped Dad kind of get the confidence he needed. So he held hostage Perry Como in an elevator, and asked if it would be all right to sing, you know, for him, so he could say if he had any talent. And Mr. Como listened patiently and actually did think that he did, and he helped shepherd him into the industry with various entertainment venues, and hence my brother, who has since passed away, Perry, was named after Perry Como. So that was really how Dad got into the industry, and he had various television shows and appeared on several different television shows hosted by other individuals, such as like Judy Garland. But I think the highlight of his life was the every day going to the golf course and coming home and having pasta. I mean, that was really his deal. He was a homebody. Mm-hmm. I think a perfect day for Dad was going to the golf course, having, you know, being with his friends on the golf course, and he would be home in time for dinner and watch. His favorite show was most oftentimes Fox News. Mm-hmm. He really enjoyed, especially the last years when I was living with him in Florida. His wife had passed away the last year prior before he died, and we were together pretty much 24/7. And his routine was to watch Fox News and watch John Wayne movies, and he was just a real homebody. Mm-hmm. And I think that the years of being on the road, Brian, really made him tired. You know, mm-hmm. he was 89 when he passed away, and he had been doing this since he was 15, 16 years old. And God bless my grandmother, but his mother got him started in the industry by teaching him how to sing at a very early age. So we were blessed with his talent, all of us.
Well, a very gifted man, not bad for coming from an elevator operator. And I know a few years before he passed, CBS This Morning did a very nice piece, and I know the Castles and I enjoyed it very much. But he was very charming, I was with him at a lot of parties with a lot of U.S. senators, and a very charming, intelligent man. For those who've just tuned in, you're listening to the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520, blanketing 17 states and much of Canada. I'd like to thank those who've called regarding recent guests, Sheriff Tim Howard, U.S. Congressman Tom Reed, and the woman who hosts the Flavor of Poland series nationally on PBS. So we thank you for listening. Next week, we have an interesting program with Richard Earle, whose grandfather designed the Corvette and all the cars with the fins in the 1950s. And we'll have the grandson of the famous Harley Earle on this program. You may remember those TV ads about Harley Earle with all the remarkable, interesting cars of the 1950s and 60s. ESPN 1520 is streaming. You can listen live by going to our website, ESPN1520.com, and clicking on the radio.com or listen tab. Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the AMPOL Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the AMPOL Legal. The AMPOL Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. A little bit more information about Victoria Damone, daughter of the famous singer Vic Damone. She was the second employee to join OneShare Health and has been with them since inception. Today, OneShare Health has over 219 employees and close to 50,000 members nationally. She has been in the health benefits arena for close to 17 years. Our guest today, Victoria Damone. Let's talk about your position as Executive Vice President of Strategic Partnerships for OneShare Health. Tell us about what you do, Victoria Damone.
Well, thank you. Well, really, I look at different people and organizations that are like-minded with OneShare Health, and we're a faith-based ministry organization, and since we provide healthcare options to individuals and families, there's a core essence of who we are here that we really want to do right by our members and each individual that's a part of this community at OneShare Health is really welcomed, and we consider the way we handle individuals with white glove treatment. Our CEO and all the executive staff here are really focused on trying to be the best healthcare sharing ministry in the industry, but we look at what we do as a service, a mission to help others. And we partner with different organizations that would be like-minded, such as the Tim Tebow Foundation and the Emmett Smith Foundation. So we really try to give back to communities and other organizations with our time and volunteering and money that we can share with them. It's all about trying to pay it forward and service people.
Very good. Now, this is a faith-based ministry. Tell us what type of spiritual support that you give with OneShare Health throughout the country. What do you stand for?
Well, we stand on basically values that we think are very important. We try to tailor our programs, which are healthcare programs, to their needs. With the highest standard of integrity that we can, and hopefully they're very innovative, and we look at what we do is a teamwork effort here, and actually, since we spoke last, we are close to 300 employees.
Oh, good.
So we're growing very quickly, and we have a statement of beliefs that are basically the questions that a member would subscribe to, that they would agree that they are like-minded in. So we believe that there's authority in the scripture, and there's dignity in every human being, and we believe that there's religious rights and the right to worship God in freedom, and we believe that sharing with people, which is the membership dues, go into basically a pool to pay out expense sharing requests, which is basically would be, if we were an insurance product, which we are not, that would be a claim, but we are not insurance. So that's we believe that sharing together in the costs associated with healthcare needs is very important. And we believe that we should be accountable and live a healthy living. So, and we believe in the power of prayer. So those are the sort of the statement of beliefs that help wireframe who we are and our members would have to agree to. But those principles are probably very common in many households where we take care of each other, a community of sorts. And we have a pastor on staff here. We're very hands-on. So that's very special in our industry.
Now, when your father was ill, after your stepmother passed, you said that he believed in God. Was there a strong spirituality towards the end of his life that you witnessed?
I think it was pretty consistent, Brian, all the way through his life. He memorized prayers and would say them without looking at a book. He would be able to recite a prayer without seeing or reading anything. And he believed that God saw everything. In fact, he would laugh and say, sometimes God is Italian. And so he really believed that God could see everything. And at the very end, I was his healthcare surrogate at the hospital when he was in ICU. And I don't know if I ever told you the story about President Trump calling.
No, I haven't heard this. I know that they lived, eight blocks away from each other in Palm Beach, Florida?
Right. And they had been friends for decades. And President Trump called. We have a very dear friend of the family, Harold and Robin Perenboom. When Dad was in ICU in Miami, Harold found a way to get in touch with President Trump to let him know that Dad was very sick, because they were very close, going back decades. Mm-hmm. And the Sunday before President Trump's State of the Union address, his very first one, he called my mobile number. Mm-hmm. He spent about 15 minutes with me in the evening going over what Dad's prognosis was, and it was very dire. And then I walked into Dad's ICU room and put the phone up to his ear and let him talk to President Trump. And I thought that was a really special moment, because it was a very chaotic time for the president, and to take, you know, almost an hour out of his time to want to know how Dad was doing. And he actually thought about coming down to the hospital just to see Dad and say goodbye. But I didn't think it was the greatest idea, just because Dad had been in the hospital for about a month. But Dad listened to him, and after he finished with Dad, and I didn't actually hear their phone call, I could see tears coming down my dad's face.
Wonderful.
And it was amazing. It really was the most amazing encounter. So he had very loyal friends, and not just, you know, obviously President Trump, but very, very decent, loyal people like yourself that were in his life for a long time, and he would do anything for them. He really would. And at the end of his life, I think he knew that the time was close by, and he had two devoted individuals in his life that stayed by his side all the time, which were his nurses. Mm-hmm. And they became like family to us. I feel we were really blessed with him for a long while.
Yeah. Well, he was a gifted, talented singer, and I said, Sinatra said he had the best pipes in the business, a very charming man. I was very fortunate to be at many dinner and cocktail parties for charities with your father and your late stepmother, and he was a great artist, a great singer, and we're fortunate to have on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520 his daughter with the same name, Victoria Damone, Vic Damone, with us today on the Rusk Report. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, New York, or Montreal, or Washington, D.C., to our 50,000 watts of clear channel power, please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. This station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand, and we'd like to hear from you. A little bit more information about Victoria Damone. Prior to working for One Share Health, Victoria Damone started her insurance career working for TPA. She was the National Client Relationship Manager for Amwins, the largest insurance wholesaler in the world, representing a $12 billion company. Victoria has sat on both the Children's Diabetes Foundation and the Alzheimer's Foundation Board. Victoria Damone, Executive Vice President of Strategic Partnerships for One Share Health and daughter of the legendary singer who I was very lucky to meet many times, Vic Damone. Let's talk a little bit about how you introduce bringing together mutually beneficial partners to support One Share Health.
Well, really, we have to build a relationship. Everything is based on relationships and trust. And there are some wonderful organizations that we're looking at pursuing aligning with. Right now, there's health-minded needs for our consumers, our members. And that's kind of my priority right now. Heart, juvenile diabetes, anything that would be content that would be aligning with our strategy to get our members into a healthy environment and a wellness initiative. So right now my priority is to align with legislators that are impacting our healthcare landscape, and that's being led with our CEO and our leadership here along with myself, but it's a village here. And then, of course, content to make sure that our members are getting real-time information that's going to be meaningful to their family and themselves. So it could be a nugget of information that we share with our members, or it could be another nonprofit organization such as Tim Tebow Foundation. So it can take a lot of different forms and shapes with this role, and I love that. I've been very blessed that I can meander sort of in different directions and be sort of a chameleon depending on the audience and the needs of who we're supporting as well.
Very good. Now, I mentioned that you are the second employee to join One Share Health, and you've been with them since the inception. This is an amazing growth from 0 to 300 employees. Tell us why you've been so successful with that.
I think that the key for us is we've been very focused on making sure that our programs are affordable and that they have the right components in them. And I think going back to sort of the leadership notion here of building these programs in an operation that's very hands-on, I think our success is that the American family needs options, and the cost of health care, if you're not obtaining your health care from your employer, it's prohibitively expensive. So it's not for everyone. Our model as a health care sharing ministry is not going to be for everyone, but we certainly have programs that are very good for a lot of people. And it speaks to individuals that are trying to take care of themselves and are relatively healthy, are looking for an affordable option. And I think that part of this as well is great leadership. We have an exceptional team here that is trying to shape making what we do a very meaningful community support here. We really look at every angle of healthcare as also mind, body, and spirit, and that's a wonderful attribute for our members.
Let's get back to your dad, Vic Damone. Again, he did a lot for charities. It's very touching, the story of Donald Trump calling him when he was very ill. It showed that the president is very caring, and he cared about your father. But let's talk about the legacy that famous singer Vic Damone leaves to our world. What is his legacy?
Wow. That's a tough one, Brian, because for a daughter, he leaves the legacy of love and kindness and a wonderful dad and leader of our family. But as a performer, we as a family are blessed to know that we can listen to him and hear him and, you know, look at YouTube videos and several movies that he was in and look at that and see him live. But I hope his legacy is that he was a good friend and a kind soul, and he had a great talent. And he kept his friends, and he was very loyal. I hope his legacy encompasses all that.
Wonderful. We have about 2 minutes left on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. With the health benefits arena that you were involved with for 17 years, what significant changes did you see, Victoria Damone?
I think, Brian, that the landscape for healthcare is a moving target. I think that with the ACA changes and the possibility of a one-payer system, people need choices. There needs to be competition in the marketplace. And I truly believe that our physicians, our doctors, our healthcare systems, the providers that are caring for our families, I think it's very important that an individual and a family feel that they have choices out there. And it's important for us as a healthcare sharing ministry organization to provide options that are going to be meaningful to individuals to look at. And that makes me nervous that that could be taken away from us as a community of people in America. So I do believe that options and competitiveness in the marketplace are very important.
Very good. I'm sorry we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. We've learned a great deal from Victoria Damone, Executive Vice President of Strategic Partnerships for One Share Health. She's located in Fort Worth, Texas. Also, we salute the legacy of her great father, who I was fortunate to meet many times, with Marianne and John Castle in Palm Beach, Florida. The legendary singer Vic Damone, who started as an elevator operator, and we heard the story of befriending Perry Como and rising to the top of the music industry worldwide. Thank you for enlightening us about your career with One Share Health, Victoria Damone, and special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the past 15 years. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.